Are you ready to become a better version of yourself, to become a leader in your personal and professional life? Then welcome to the CJ Evolution Podcast, where we put a twist on traditional criminal justice professions and provide you with the tools you need to set yourself up for success in your career and for the future. Now, welcome your host, the CJ Evolutionist himself, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode 238 of CJ Evolution. That's Criminal Justice Evolution. This is a podcast for the criminal justice professional like you, hosted by me, another criminal justice professional. Special thanks to all those first responders out there. Brave men and women doing a very difficult job in a very difficult environment. You know, I cannot believe we're up to 238 episodes. And the way we got there is because of you, the listener and supporter. If you would take a minute, head over to iTunes, rate and review my podcast, I sure would appreciate it. And because of you, the listener and supporter, the CJ Evolution Podcast has been listed as one of the best in 2018 by Player FM. Quite an honor. All thanks to you. You know, folks, I'm partnered with Four Sigmatic. If you love coffee, and I know many of you do, head over to the CJ Evolution website. You're going to see a link to this great company. They have many elixirs, cocos, and coffee. Most notably, their mushroom coffee is kick-ass. You're going to love it. And you'll get 15% off of your purchases using the promo code CJEVO. You know, folks, I love having criminal justice professionals on the show. Other Leos, my next guest is an amazing guy. He's got a movement out there, an amazing movement teaching men how to become better men, both personally and professionally. He is an officer serving his department and nation honorably. Not only that, not only all that amazing stuff, he's got a top-ranked criminal justice podcast. You're going to love this guy. He's going to rock it. He's going to give you some amazing tips and suggestions on how to become a better you. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am super pumped to have my next guest on the show, a current Leo law enforcement officer and a former Wall Street guy. He also has an amazing podcast out there called the Man of War podcast that you got to check out. Rafa Conde is on the show. Are you there, sir?
Pat. Thank you for having me on, brother. It's an honor.
Well, thank you for being on the show. We were talking a little bit before we went live, and I know you're very, very busy, and I appreciate your valuable time. I gave kind of a little bio of you, Rafa. I don't know if I gave you any due justice by the bio I gave you. You want to expand on that a little bit?
Oh, my bio. Well, I mean, basically, I'm just an average guy trying to give
I don't
back
think you're average, brother, but
I'm just trying to give back to the community, Pat. I mean, that's my goal. But for the most part, I started off my core is martial arts. I've been training for 35 years in martial arts. I run a martial arts school here. Throughout my martial arts career, I mean, I did a lot of traveling, studied Zen Buddhism, traveled to all over the world, studied from different masters. Throughout that time, I became a Wall Street broker. I was a broker for over a decade, about 12 years or so. And that was in the boom, man. We're talking about the 90s and oh, that was just unbelievable, where you can just throw a dart and stocks would go up. And, you know, you had, you know, young guys, 20, 22 years old, driving Ferrari. So I lived that life for a while. From there, basically, I switched hats. And a lot of people ask me why, and we'll get into that in a second. But I switched hats and I went after my passion. I wanted to be a narcotics cop. For whatever reason, in my heart, I felt that I needed to go out there and make an impact in the drug world. Yeah. And I basically went out there and went through the police academy and got hired by one of the most violent cities in the country, definitely the state, Riviera Beach Police Department down here in Palm Beach County. And I did a couple of years from there and got detached out to the multi-agency task force where we worked a lot heavily with the pills and then the pill mills when the oxycodone craze was down here, and then was assigned to the DEA. And from there, basically, I moved departments about 4.5 years ago, and I'm a field training officer right now. Mm-hmm. But for me, my goal was also throughout my career, I've been teaching at the police academy for over a decade and was always to give back. I've always been the type of individual that gives back no matter what. I have a very strong warrior mindset, mm-hmm. and it's all about, man, giving, giving, giving.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing we were talking about, again, well, first of all, thank you for your service, Rafa. I mean, and what really amazes me, you said you're an average guy. You're not an average guy. You're the guy that's up there, because you know as well as I do, when you're on Wall Street and the lure of money, not that money's everything, but that would be a hard thing for most people to break away from.
No doubt. I mean, it's, realistically, it was a time in my life where, money just came raining down. I mean, it was not, unlike to be sitting in the beach, and the internet had just gone wireless there. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting there, and I tell my wife this all the time, doing trades and making $35,000-$40,000 in commission in one day sitting there on the beach. And, I go back to that and I'm like, holy shit, this is a very, very powerful, you're looking at it and you're saying, that's a lot of money.
It's a drug.
Absolutely. Yeah. But Pat, I'll tell you right now though, when I changed hats, my wife, she looked at me and she said, if this is what you want to do, I'm with you. And mm-hmm. for me, that was very powerful. Mm-hmm. So we went from making, over $500,000 a year to $40,000 a year.
Yeah. But, it's so humbling, and I admire you very much. And I know the listeners do too, because, again, it takes a special type of person to give that up. And it was so interesting when you were talking about that. I was thinking like Wolf of Wall Street kind of stuff. Is it is that crazy? I mean, I don't know if you've seen the movie, but
the era. Oh yeah, the era that I came up. It was no doubt about it. It was a very boiler room. I came up in multiple boiler rooms where they wouldn't let you sit down. You would pitch, standing up, walking around the room, closing. That was the mentality, no doubt.
Now, you've been in law enforcement for a long time now, Rafa. What are some of the challenges, that you are seeing that law enforcement faces today?
Well, I think the priority number one nowadays for most departments is covering their ass above putting, and I say this pretty upfront, above putting the officers first, in my opinion. And, you being part of the command staff, and you have a different outlook at times. And I could see it from your point of view, from the brass's point of view at times. However, what I see as a police officer trainer, because that's what I do, all the time, I'm literally training, rookies that come in, rookie and recruits that come out of the academy. What I'm seeing is that the officer is not getting enough training, and they're giving officers more and more responsibility and accountability. And it gets to the point where, the officers are trying to rely a little bit on the department, but the department's putting everything on the officer out there. And it's difficult. It's a difficult time right now. And I see it from, BWCs, the body-worn cameras. Mm-hmm. I see it where all the training is very hyper-focused on the internet. The hands-on training is kind of limited in comparison to a decade or 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And, it's mostly, dotting all the I's and crossing all the X's. And to me, the most important thing, Pat, out there is, officer safety, bar none. Mm-hmm. And when these officers are challenged with all this overwhelming paperwork and all these, turning on the camera, turning off the camera, and being part of this new culture that's being built up in police departments, I have to go back and I have to take a step and look at it and say, well, I'm not so sure that this is making our officers today better than they were before.
Mm-hmm. And I think very well said and excellent points. And like you said, I think some of it is driven by the environment, like we've talked about. I think you made a great point when we live in this hypersensitive environment right now where, officers, I think, are afraid to go out there in some regards to be proactive. I think we're much more reactive, and you know that, Rafa. But it doesn't help sometimes when you have a command staff, and I agree with you 100%, that it's putting more pressures on the people out there that are actually doing the work. And it just makes it for a more difficult environment. And quite frankly, I think that's one of the reasons. I think there's many reasons, but I think that's one of the reasons why people are not flocking to law enforcement like they did in days past.
I agree with you 100%. I think that I've seen over the last 5 years or so, I've seen a drop off. I've also seen a drop in the quality of cadet that comes mm-hmm. through the police academy, and also the quality of officer that the departments are bringing in. While they might be a little bit more book smart, I don't want to say this in a bad way, but the common sense, that street smarts, is not there. And I say this because I'm literally hands on with these recruits, day in, day out, and it's filtering through me. And my goal is to get them ready for the street, get them ready for the realities of what police work is. And a lot of times they just, for lack of a better word, they just not getting it.
Yeah.
They don't get the police work. And it's a difficult time. I believe it's a difficult time in law enforcement right now, making this transition over to where I don't know where we're going to be in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I want to get into her podcast, Man of War podcast, but what really stuck out in my mind, I was doing research on you and what the great things you're doing out there, Rafa. And one of the things that you stated is you've seen firsthand the progressive demise of the alpha male. And I agree with you. And I think that, and I'd love to hear your take, I think that plays into this too, because something is happening to not every male out there, but what is happening with the alpha male? Where's it going? What is happening to men out there who they're not learning what they need to learn to be successful? You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a huge problem out there right now. Okay, and people will tell you no, it's not. And I can go into police departments and say, when you talk about all this sensitivity, this and sensitivity mm-hmm. that. I mean, look, there's in life right now are this. The male is taking a back seat to basically everything out there. And when I say everything, I'm talking about the realities of the world. I mean, you're looking at television, you're looking at movies, you're looking at, and don't get me wrong, I have nothing. I mean, I have a beautiful daughter. I'm all about women should be, 100%, to be able to do everything and anything. But when you are looking at TV, seeing that, what happened to the John Waynes? What happened to, the Clint Eastwoods? What happened to that type of rawness, that gentlemanness, but at the same time, what we call that man that is supposed to be a provider, that is supposed to be a protector, a defender, all right? That Spartan call, that, Viking call, that warrior mindset. I don't see it, Pat. And when I tell you when I don't see it, I see it filter out of the police academy and the recruits that I'm getting now. It's all about touchy-feely, huggy-huggy. They don't really get it until they get smacked in the face a couple of times and they're like, okay, this is real. Police work when you're out there on the street is real. And from a man's perspective, you could see that there's a drop off of, and we can go in here for hours, but there's a drop off of that confidence,
yeah,
right? That man brings. I don't see it there. I don't see it there in business. I don't see it there in the police world. I don't see it there in our society as a whole. So this emasculation that we're seeing here, it's a trend that has been spiraling down, I want to say, for at least a good decade.
And I wonder if it's just, a lot of it, I think, even politically, political correctness, I just don't, it just seems like you can't do or say certain things anymore. I've seen it too, a lot of these young officers, not all of them, but a lot of them, have never gotten hit before. I'm not advocating violence or anything like that, but I remember, getting into fights when I was a kid. Again, not saying that's a good thing, but you can't you can't really do anything with cadets these days. Again, not all of them. You can't, you know, rough them up in training or anything, or it's, oh my God, you're being too hard on them. You can't do that. And I'm just like, where is, I agree with you. You're a cop. You got a gun and a badge, and sometimes you're going to have to mix it up.
Absolutely. And you see that from colleges, for example, police academies, where they're doing away from, you know, they do away from the DI, you know, instructors, you know, the drill instructors. They're just saying, no, no more. Now they want more of a college-based atmosphere in a police academy. You know, and I call, you know, I call bull crap on that, because it's you need to have – this is a hands-on game. No matter what anyone says out there, the reality is this. When you are a police officer – you need to understand the concept that at any time you must go hands-on. That's just the bottom line. Yeah. And if you can't do that, I mean, you know that, Pat. If you don't have that within you, you need to go fry burgers at Burger King.
Yeah. I remember being in the Army down at Fort Benning, and I remember when I was in, before I got shipped off to airborne school, they were instituting, I don't know, you probably heard of these before, and I don't even know if they're still around, stress cards. In boot camp, they were pulling them out, you know, whenever the recruit got too stressed out by the DI, and I was thinking, what the hell is that? it's just crazy. So I want to shift gears a little bit, talk about your podcast, Man of War Podcast. What made you start this? What was the catalyst?
We were just talking about it. The emasculation of men, and the fact that I believe in my heart that there are still some warrior-minded individuals out there. And I don't necessarily believe warrior-minded individuals just in the battleground, but right in business and life, talking about being that warrior in your own battlefield, right? In life, in business, in whatever task that you have decided to take on. And for the most part, being a warrior, man, it's all about bettering yourself to be an exemplary individual for your family, for others, to lead by example, right? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to bring this because I really believe in my heart, in my soul, that there are still men that will be able to live by these virtues of honor, courage, integrity, you know, have solid ethics across the board and increase their mindset. Mm-hmm. So when I started this, man, I got to tell you, you know, within a few months, it took off, and I'm very, very excited about it. I mean, we have people from all over the world writing me every day and just some great stuff.
The one thing I love, you keep mentioning mindset, and that's the one thing, you know, Rafa, that a lot of people don't get out there. What you put out there, what you think is what you're going to get. If you think life is shitty and everything ever is going to get better and I'm just, this is what I'm supposed to be doing and that's it and nothing can ever get better. I'm a big believer, and I know you probably, I'm assuming you are, the law of attraction. If you think life is crap and nothing's ever going to get better, guess what? That's what you're going to get. And so it's very important for the listener to understand that Rafa, first of all, knows what the hell he's talking about. And it's very, very powerful what he's saying about mindset. But a lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand. And I didn't at one time in my life, Rafa, that I didn't understand how powerful the mind is. And what you put out there to the universe is what you're going to get back.
I agree. I mean, you couldn't have said it better. I mean, what you put out there typically is what you're going to get back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my philosophy is you give of yourself even when you have nothing to give, mm-hmm. right? And the more you do that and the more you give out there, believe me, somehow, some way, you're going to get it back tenfold.
Oh, yeah. I agree 100%. You know, I get questions all the time, you know, why'd you start this? Or how did you do this? How did you start this podcast? Now, you probably got some of the same questions, Rafa. And I always tell people the same thing. You know, the how is easy, at least easier, but we got to figure out the why first. You know, you got to figure out the why, you know, and once you figure out the why, and I wish I could take credit for that, but it's been out there with a lot of, you know, successful people, then the how is going to follow.
Absolutely. You couldn't have said it better. I mean, look, you know, the why is the central, but the how will follow.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely, man.
Now,
I hear you.
You got an amazing podcast. Like, I can't talk about it enough. What were some of the challenges that you've faced? I know we hit a little bit of some of the challenges of starting a podcast. What's some of the ones that you've faced, Rafa?
Well, basically, typically at the beginning of a podcast, you know, a lot of people don't understand really what it takes to you know, make a good podcast, you know, going out there, getting the guests, you know, then aligning all your recording equipment, make sure that everything is good, then kind of putting out a nice product, something that people can kind of, you know, believe in. And for me, my biggest challenges was initially was bringing on the right type of guest that I wanted to really disseminate the message of mindset. Mm-hmm. So it took me probably a good 3 to 4 weeks before I was able to find my first guest. And then it kind of carried from there, but I wasn't sure whether I wanted to go into the law enforcement side and the military side, mm-hmm. or I wanted just to go out there and, you know, pick people that overcame challenges. So it just kind of took off from there. So my biggest challenge, to answer your question, was really initiating how this podcast was going to kind of trend. Mm-hmm. Because ideally, man, I wanted to stay with one message, and I think that I've done a very good job so far.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's awesome what you're doing out there, Rafa. Can you talk about the Warrior Development Academy? And we talked a little bit off the air about an amazing event that I want to try to get at down in Miami in December. Can you talk about both?
Sure. The Warrior Development Academy is basically an academy. It's an online academy, and it's divided into 8 segments, and it's all in digital format. I kind of break it down. We talk about field dominion, self-confidence, you know, courage, bravery, all that good stuff in there. It's a very strong membership academy. And I'll go in there, we'll do some webinars, some Q&A sessions, I'll bring in some guests. So it's a very immersive environment. And for the Conclave of Warriors, well, this is something very powerful that's happening in downtown Miami, December 1 and 2. And it is all about, we're talking about mindset. This is an event that is focused on the mindset, you know, including, you know, leadership. We're going to have Brent Gleason speaking about, you know, leadership. We got Jay Dobbins. If you don't know Jay Dobbins, you know, he's phenomenal. I mean, he's the ATF agent that went undercover.
Hell's Angels.
Hell's Angels. And his story is just radical. But when you meet him and when you talk to him, his message is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, we got Jason Redman. You know, he basically had part of his face blown off in combat, Navy SEAL. We have Ray Kerr. And then we have two badass entrepreneurs. You know, we got Brad Lee and we have Bedros Koulian. These guys are elite. A lot of people ask me, well, why did you mix, you know, entrepreneurs with police officers
and
military guys? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the mindset, I wanted to show that the mindset is very similar whether you're in the battlefield of combat or in the battlefield of life and business. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to tie that together. And I think this event's going to be unbelievable, and I'm super stoked.
Yeah. And it'll be linked up in the show notes for all those listeners out there, as well as information on how to contact Rafa, as well as the main podcast. I encourage everybody to check this out, his podcast out. It's badass, like you said. Now, Rafa, I know you know this, but I got to ask. A lot of successful people, most successful people that I have on the show, have some sort of routine during the day. A lot of, you know this, a lot of people have some sort of morning routine. Do you have a morning routine? Do you get up on the, get up out of bed and say,
absolutely,
all right, I'm going to do this? Mine is meditation, journaling. I'd love to know what yours are.
Well, first thing that I do in the morning, I get up. I like to initially go immediately into a meditation. I usually sit for about 15 minutes. And this is a formal meditation, you know, where I have a special area where I just sit and posture. And then from there, what I do is I like to slow everything down and I breathe. I do some of what we call Qigong, usually Qigong about 10 minutes. From there, I like to hit the gym. Usually about 45 minutes to an hour. I usually wake up, by the way, right around 5 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Usually, and these are the days that I'm not on duty. Usually my duty days, I'm up at 4. So they're a little bit different, but the days that I'm not on duty, for the most part, I come back from the gym. I like to eat a very healthy breakfast. My wife takes care of that for me. She always has some avocados, very simple breakfast from there. I'm usually done and over by 6:30. I am ready to, you know, go into coaching sessions. I have a martial arts school that I run full time here, and I have private students that come and travel from all over the world. And I go out there and do private sessions with them, or for that matter, I'll go and do some meetings, conference meetings. Now that we have this event, I'm constantly on different conferences from people all over the world. So my day is pretty much all the way like that till about 4 or 5 in the afternoon on my, technically my day's off.
Do you sleep, Rafa? I mean, I just wanted
Brother, I got to tell you, man, that is a very good question, because my days are between 18, 19 hours, no doubt about it.
Well, you know, sleep is very important. You know, it's a very important part of you know, staying on top and being healthy. Well, just one last question. I mean,
sure.
What do you like to read? What's your favorite book?
Brother, let me tell you, my story with reading is I have, and my wife is there to tell you, since 13 years old, I have never, ever gone to bed, even if I go to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning, got to wake up at 4, without reading at least 15, 20 minutes.
It's amazing.
I read, I have probably my library right now. In 2010, I had 1,500 books, so I'm thinking I have close to 2,000 books right now that I have read. So for me, I love to read. First and foremost, I love to read anything to do with a war, like old school war, Spartan wars, samurai. I'm all about the samurai. I love to read Japanese history and philosophy, big into that. I love to read about leadership. I'm very much into also, I like to read about entrepreneurship, you know, Zig Ziglar. Love to read Zig Ziglar. Some Grant Cardone stuff also is very good. So I'm very much on top of books. For example, currently I am reading The Dichotomy of Leadership by Jocko Willink. Just came out today.
Yep.
Just started that book today. Mm-hmm. It's a very good book, very much all about leadership. I just absorbed recently a book called 10X by Grant Cardone. So I'm very much into mixing it up. I usually read one leadership book, maybe one war book, and then I go and I shift into entrepreneur mode.
Yeah. I am reading a book called Principles by Ray Dalio.
And, I have not read that book.
Yeah, and he's a big hedge fund guy. And and people out there are probably going, what?
Ray Dalio is a very well-known individual, no doubt.
And he, a lot of leadership, a lot of struggles he went through to get to the top. But he's a very humble guy, and it's a great book. And, just amazing.
Good stuff, man.
Any final words? I know I lied. I'm not going to ask you any more questions after. Any final words of wisdom that you can pass on to the listeners, Rafa?
If there's anything that you're going to do with your life, make sure that you give of yourself, that you help others, and you make sure that in life – all right, when you look at yourself in the mirror, when you wake up in the morning and you say, who am I? You'll be able to answer that honestly and truthfully with every grain in your soul.
Rafa Conde, thank you so much, brother, for coming on the show. Thank you for your service and what you're doing. Much success to you and all your endeavors. If there's anything I can personally ever do for you, please, brother, reach out and let me know.
Thank you, Patrick. It was an honor to be on, man. Great show.
All right, Rafa.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.